Welcome to PharmaPulse, a pharmaceutical commerce podcast bringing you the latest insights shaping patient access, regulatory policy, and healthcare innovation. I'm Steve Appizzato, and today we have a special episode on upcoming regulatory development that you should be aware of. On July 1st, the United States, Canada, and Mexico formally kick off the first joint review of the USMCA, the trade agreement that governs commerce across North America. Most of the public debate has centered on autos, steel, and labor, but for pharmaceutical supply chain teams, the stakes are equally real and the clock is already running. Pharma companies operate in a deeply integrated North American supply chain. Active pharmaceutical ingredients, packaging, solvents, finished dosage forms, all of it crosses borders, often multiple times before reaching a patient. Any tightening of origin compliance requirements or shift in tariff exposure can force a full rethink of landed cost. And unlike most industries, pharma can't just swap out a supplier. Validation, quality reviews, regulatory filings, switching takes time that most companies do not have. What makes this moment especially complicated is that the USMCA review isn't the only pressure. Tariff resets, raw material disruption, and energy cost volatility. These aren't separate problems, they compound. And that's exactly why the smartest supply chain teams aren't waiting for July 1st to act. Here to walk us through all of it is Rohit Tripathi, Vice President of Industry for CPG and Manufacturing at Relic Solutions. Rohit works with manufacturers, including pharma companies, on supply chain strategy, and he has some sharp thinking on how to build a risk picture that accounts for cost, lead time, compliance, and availability all at once. Rohit, thank you for being here. My first question, the USMCA's first formal joint review kicks off July 1st. How could potential changes to the USMCA affect sourcing decisions, inventory buffers, lead times, and tariff exposure for pharmaceutical products?
Yeah. Well, before that, Stephen, I think for pharma, the issue is not just this one USMCA review, right? It's actually the collision of trade policies, origin rules, energy disruption, chemical input inflation, along with the regulatory complexity, right? Like, so I think your readers, and you should look at this as a combination of all of these things, right? Like, USMCA is but one piece. There is, of course, the continuing the Strait of Hormuz issue, right? Like, that has a chemical impact issue that has the impact on the active ingredients for pharmaceuticals. So your viewers should keep that in perspective. Now, coming back to your question, I think what this review will do is it'll force the pharmaceutical companies to rethink a landed cost. A supplier that looks at a cheaper price, that looks cheaper on pricing, may become more expensive once the tariff exposure, the qualification timelines, the compliance costs, and the service risk is included. And with pharmaceuticals, it is going to be a challenge because, as you can imagine, in pharma, switching suppliers is not that easy, right? Like, it requires validation, quality reviews, regulatory filings. And so that is actually the big risk that is there. And now, to answer the question in terms of like how are companies thinking about it in terms of inventory, I don't believe the best companies are not just blindly adding inventory. Rather, they are looking at it, segmenting products by patient criticality, margin, shelf life, demand volatility, and substitution risk. It's completely okay to do this for like more generic medications, things that you know have a steady demand pattern aligned with like maybe the upcoming flu season and others. But for the others, I don't think companies are just going in and just saying like, let's stock up right now, because it's tied up capital, and B, it's actually shelf life limitation that will come in.
And so secondly, how are companies weighing cost, resilience, and regulatory uncertainty while protecting product availability?
So I think the pharma companies are right now looking at all of these dimensions that I mentioned, which is what's the shelf life, watch the demand pattern, right? Like watch the demand volatility. What's the supply concentrations, right? Some products will need safety stock, and so they are making that decision. Some products will need dual sourcing, right? And some will need earlier demand signals and better supply collaboration. So those are all the approach pharma companies are bringing in right now.
Now, Rohit, why are manufacturers scenario planning now as trade policy, raw material disruption, and tariff resets create overlapping supply chain pressures?
Because all of these issues compound, right? Like if you could think of this, right, if it was just one disruption, right? But because all of these are compounding issues, right? A tariff changes landed cost. The Strait of Hormuz disruption can raise energy, freight, insurance, petrochemical prices. Chemical price increases can impact your active pharmaceutical ingredients, right? Solvents, coatings, packaging. So in isolation, all of these may be manageable, but altogether, they break assumptions in the planning model. And that's why you need this scenario planning so that you could actually get a more realistic view of the world as opposed to taking a more theoretical approach of like one disruption at a time.
And lastly, for pharma supply chain teams that haven't acted yet or considered potential changes to the USMCA, where should they start?
I would say first start with a product level risk map. Clearly identify your critical SKUs, your single source active pharmaceutical ingredients, the APIs that are like single sourced. Where do you have the high risk packaging issues? Where do you have the most cross-border flows? And then where you are most exposed to energy or petrochemical price movements? Start with that. And then build those scenarios in there, right? And start thinking about the what ifs that can come in. The good news is with AI, right, you are able to do that much more rapidly than you could before. But just blindly adopting one set of rules applies to everything, which is A, either let's increase the inventory, or B, right, like let's start, trying to find new suppliers is not going to work.
Rohit, really appreciate you taking the time to speak with PC and for laying out such a practical framework. The point about risk modeling across all those dimensions simultaneously rather than treating each disruption in isolation, I think is something our readers are really going to want to sit with. For those looking to go deeper, we'll have a full written breakdown of the upcoming July 1st review, and we'll keep following the matter as it develops. I'm Steve Apizzato from Pharmaceutical Commerce, and thank you for listening.